Hello and welcome to the final preseason episode of the AFL Fantasy Footy Fever podcast. I am Max Matthews, and for today's episode, we'll have the latest news regarding Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson. Jack McRae update following his VFL match on the weekend, opening round analysis with player scores, CBA analysis, and my final team reveal. So, recent news coming out of Fremantle yesterday has sparked yet another significant increase in Luke Jackson's ownership. Tom Morris reported yesterday that Sean Darcy has now undergone knee surgery and will most likely miss six or more weeks. Frio wanted Darcy to be available for round four, but is now looking highly unlikely. Luke Jackson is now sitting at almost 20% in ownership and is looking likely to increase in the last couple of days of team changes. So right now, he sits in my team at the F1 position, which will provide me with a bit more flexibility when it comes to early buy rounds. But I'll talk about that a little bit later when I go through my final team reveal. Fantasy coaches got an update from Luke Beveridge in a press conference yesterday on how Jack McRae is progressing after a hamstring strain a little bit earlier this preseason. And here's what he had to say.
He went okay. Went pretty well on a difficult day. It was a howling northerly as we get here at times, and he had a strong hit out. As I said, he's a little bit behind now as far as match practice goes, and I mentioned probably a few weeks ago that right back at the start of pre-season talked about our team that will be picked. Round one against Melbourne will be absolutely ready as far as match time goes and being able to play to the last minute. And so we'll consider Jack as we always will because of his experience and his what he's been able to do over the journey. But if we feel he's not quite ready due to what his preparation's been in recent times, then he more than likely won't be in the team.
So after these comments, it is looking more and more likely that we will not see Jack McRae line up for the Western Bulldogs this week, but we'll wait and see when teams get released on Thursday night. He is a qualified fantasy scorer, as many people know. He hasn't gone under a 90-point average since his rookie season back in 2013. He averaged 92 points last year after two previous seasons of averaging 103 and 116 points. The AFL's newest addition to the competition was put in place on the weekend for the first ever opening round held in Sydney, Brisbane and the Gold Coast. A couple close matches and some that ended up being pretty convincing wins. Nevertheless, a lot of fantasy information was given to us as we had a free hit looking at certain players we wanted in our own teams. I'll go through a few players from each game and give you my observations on how they played and whether they are fantasy prospects to look at or not. So from the Melbourne Demons versus Sydney Swans game, I've got Jack Viney first up, was arguably the best on ground. No one from the D's was anywhere close to best on ground honours. He had 10 disposals, 4 tackles and a goal in the first quarter alone for a score of 49. Finished the game off with 30 touches, 2 goals, 7 tackles, being the highest scorer for the match with 123 points. He was a bull magnet tonight and will be a sleeper in draft. I wouldn't go for him in classic just yet, but he looked pretty good. Christian Salmon's in the midfield rotations for the first half and was looking pretty good. Unfortunately, Jake Bowie went down with a shoulder injury. Christian Salem was then sent straight back into defence. I think that his midfield time might be in strife with Bowie going down. Finished off the match with 27 disposals and 5 marks for 95 points. And I'll talk about his CBAs a little bit later. Clayne Oliver is a person to keep your eye on in Classic, especially after the bye rounds. He'll drop in price a little bit after a score of 89. He was still everywhere with 30 possessions, but lacked marks and tackles to really boost his score up. need to be aware that he is coming off a interrupted preseason and is only going to get used to things now that he's back in the main team. Christian Petrarca was similar to Oliver tonight. He was able to get his disposals and even kick a goal, but his marks and tackles were down. Normally he drifts forward and takes a couple of cheap marks, but he played mostly midfield, and that's where he should be used. More of a draft prospect than classic prospect, but can still be a top 10 midfielder if he starts performing at a high level yet again. Max Gorn was amazing to start the game off against his former teammate, but as the game went on, he started to go missing. Had about 60 points at halftime, and he only finished with 87 points, 37 points being from hitouts. One mark is a little bit concerning, but I do understand that it was quite hot and slippery. He finished the game off all right, but still would like a little bit more. Still owned by 35% of teams and faces a pretty easy fantasy opponent in Tim English for round one. Blake Howes is someone that you can definitely look at in your classic team to start the season, debuting today for Melbourne. He's the new third tool down back for the D's and scored 74 points from an impressive 17 disposals with 7 marks. He looked really confident down back and intercepted really well. I'd definitely lock him into either your utility spot or your defensive bench. Caleb Windsor also debuted for the D's today, and he was impressive with his pressure work and like his work rates up and down the ground on his wing. He did go near the ball quite often, but he couldn't dispose of the ball when he had possession of it. He finished off with 13 disposals and 4 tackles for a score of 45, so he'll still increase in price, but not as much as some of the other boys. Sydney Swans versus Melbourne. So this is the Sydney Swans players. So Brody Grundy definitely got the better of Max Gorn last week, dominating him in clearances and centre bounces. Brody had 23 disposals, 4 marks, 6 tackles and 9 clearances. Even though Max had 4 more hit-outs than him, I still thought that his ruck craft was way better than Maxie's. Safe to say that he is a ruck pig this season and is looking nice in the red and white. Lock him in after a concerning preseason match performance. Isaac Heaney has been a talking point for fantasy coaches the last few days, and only for good reasons, really. He played as a pure midfielder for most of the game and looks like a gun when he's in there. 26 disposals, 5 marks, 7 tackles and a goal to finish the game off. His 121-point game also came with 13 clearances, which was a match high and a career high for him. The only negative is that we won't know what his role is when Luke Parker and Taylor Adams comes back in, but for now he's a nice pickup in draft and could be a top 6 forward if his role continues. He's up to 10% ownership in Classic as well. James Jordan started off a little bit rough with only the one touch in the first quarter, but he started to settle in and got the ball in different positions around the ground, played as a wingman most of the game and had 5 CBAs. He finished the game off with 18 disposals, 3 marks, 7 tackles for a score of 76. We'll generate some nice cash for our classic teams early on and maybe just before his bye round. Matt Roberts is a fantasy cash cow that you need to have in your team. With a score of 91 in this game, it's a no-brainer to start him on your bench. He's owned by 26% now, and with a break-even now in the negatives, he will skyrocket in price, finish his match off with 19 disposals, 10 marks, 3 tackles. So lock him into your defensive bench. Someone that didn't perform very well for Sydney was Errol Goulden. So he was the most concerning out of pretty much all the fantasy relevant players tonight. He wasn't clean in some contested situations and they failed to get the ball to him sometimes. So the conditions didn't obviously suit him being a little bit slippery. So he wasn't able to adapt to those slippery conditions. He only finished with 20 disposals, 2 marks and 2 tackles for 69 points. So definitely can look at him. He's going to drop in price massively. So I would just wait on him until maybe after his early bye or maybe even longer. Jake Lloyd was being considered by a few people. I know not many people, but you would be hoping that he would perform in opening round, but he didn't look very good. He played a combination of back pocket and as a wingman. He got 13 disposals from his 83% time on ground with 5 marks. He's probably more draft relevant after the performance he did last week. So Brisbane and Carlton. Josh Dunkley was the biggest contributor for the Lions when it comes to fantasy. He had 21 disposals, 5 marks, 9 tackles, and it's just what we want to see from the former fantasy pig. His 104-point performance ranked him second for the match. Keep an eye out for him later in the season, but just to let you know that he had a decrease in CBAs from last season. So I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Dane Zorko was the highest scorer for the match after kicking 2 goals. Very well-rounded game, 19 disposals, 7 marks and 6 tackles. He might not be classic relevant, but if he doesn't get injured a lot like he did last year, he has the ability to score really well for draft teams if you have picked him up. So Jared Lyons has been a name thrown around as a underpriced pick up in the midfield, and he had 94 points on the weekend. It's nice to see him scoring well and back in the guts. 19 disposals and 9 tackles is pretty impressive for his first match back. Might be on free agency in many draft leagues, so pick him up and he should hold his spot. Lachie Neal, he got 25 possessions, but like last year, didn't necessarily translate into a good fantasy score. Only 2 marks and 2 tackles. Like a few other midfielders this round, not all of them were tackling and marking very well. Definitely draft relevant, but I wouldn't start the Brownlow medalist from last year in Classic. Hugh McCluggage, he came back down to earth after 130-point game last week in practice match. He only scored 68 today from 18 disposals, 1 goal and 4 marks. He's going to be priced under 800k if his price did change after this week. Definitely one to watch out for if he hits a nice patch of form like he did last year. And finally, just want to talk about Kitty Coleman. So it's sad to see the fantasy gun tear his ACL on the weekend. It is unfortunate they did pick up this injury because he looked like a really solid contributor to most fantasy defences. He will no longer be available for selection for the rest of the year, but no doubt he'll be back next year and we'll consider him yet again, and most of the competition will as well. So all the best for his recovery. For Carlton, George Hewitt is now on my radar for underpriced players in the M6 spot. He racked up 27 disposals, 4 marks, 5 tackles and got 100 from these stats and now looks like a lock in their midfield rotations. Sam Walsh will come back in and maybe influence his minutes, but he has given some fantasy coaches another option to put in our midfield. Nick Newman was the third best scorer. And he only got 83. Had 16 disposals and 8 marks, which is all right, but is a bit lower from what we saw in his hot run at the end of last season. Kick-to-handball ratio is amazing, and if he gets the ball a little bit more, we could see him score well yet again this year. Adam Chera and Paddy Cripps both had very similar games, both had 23 disposals or more, and had 5 marks and tackles combined. So Cripps, even though he kicked a goal, his score didn't increase that much. They're both mainly handballers, so that doesn't really help with a kick-to-handball ratio at all. But we all know that Paddy Cripps can go bang whenever he really wants, and he can go back to Brownlow form whenever Carlton need him. So definitely someone to look out for. He's in the 700k mark. Yeah, just watch him. If he starts performing well early in the season, he could be a nice pickup after his bye round. Zach Williams, so pretty much everyone had their eyes locked on him. And he started off really well with a 32-point first quarter, which had us all excited. But unfortunately, he couldn't keep up his scoring and only finished with 69 points for the match. So good signs early, and looks like he just needs to get a little bit more match time under his belt, and he can start scoring well. He's back in my team after I dropped him last week, as I mentioned in my previous podcast. But he'll be a nice cash generator for us to start off this season with. And like Kitty Coleman, just want to mention Sam Doherty. It's just sad to see how he fought off cancer a couple of years ago, and now he is going to be out for another year after tearing his ACL. Footy sometimes isn't fair, and I just really wish that we get to see him again next season. He'll be back bigger and better, I'm sure, but all the best for his recovery. Gold Coast versus Richmond. Matt Rowe will get the 3 Brownlow votes for his match on the weekend. So he just looked like a clearance beast. As probably most of you know, he racked up 20 clearances from his 33 disposals and also laid 5 tackles, which ended up leading him to a 112 fantasy point match from his 84% time on ground. We've been saying, when is Matt Rowe going to average 100, and this might actually be the year that we get to see the former number one pick to go to that extreme. So Tuke Miller as well in the Suns midfield was very good. He looked like he was back to his best and what he did a couple of seasons ago when he was the million-dollar man with Rory Laird. 110 from his 28 disposals, 6 marks and 4 tackles. So that's exactly what we want to see from him. He's someone worth considering since he's below 900K and is looking solid. So keep your eye on him if you don't start him this season, because he'll be in most people's team after round 6, I would assume, after all early buys are done. Noah Anderson always seems to float between 90 to 110. Most games he's pretty consistent scorer, like a few other fantasy relevant players, and he'll do well in a lot of draft teams this year. So 25 disposals and 9 marks is really nice, and just finished 1 point shy of a ton, so he got 99. So Will Powell, definitely you can look at him in draft. He was the third highest scorer for the match with a 106. He had 28 disposals and 9 marks in defense. If he is on free agency, go pick him up, as he could be some good defensive depth in your team. Another really fantasy-relevant player, Sam Flanders, was another person that a lot of fantasy coaches had their eyes on this week, and he played pretty well. Fourth in midfield rotations behind the 3 other midfielders. Still drifted up from half forward into contests. Scored 92 from his 26 disposals and 4 marks. Could wait on him because of his early buy, but a lot of people are still going to start with him. A person that could be considered after Kitty Coleman went down is Connor Budrick. So someone who that you can swap for, and he'll obviously give you a little bit more money to work with. He scored 88 points from 21 touches and 8 marks. All the Suns defenders seemed to score well today, and he wasn't any exception. Consider him to start the season, but be aware of an early buy, as a lot of people have quite a few players with early buys in that round specifically. Also, Alex Sexton has been considered by pretty much the whole competition, I would assume. So the role's there, and his scoring has improved drastically from last year. His past 2 scores of 115 and 80. So he needs to be considered by everyone playing fantasy this year, because he will make you a lot of money. DPP status at the end of round 6 as well. No doubt he'll get defender status after that. So Richmond versus Gold Coast. This is the Richmond Tigers report. So Jane Short was the top scorer for the Tigers in opening round, and his role of halfback is exactly what we saw a couple seasons ago. Takes most of the kickouts and always pops up for a couple marks down in the back pocket. 23 disposals and 7 marks is exactly what people are looking for. Some games he also drifts up the ground and kicks a goal from 50 metres, which will add some extra points to him. More draft relevant, but after his early buys, he can be considered. Jacob Hopper had a well-rounded game, 2 goals, 23 disposals, 6 marks. He'll probably average around 85, so a little bit similar to what he did last year. He'll be draft relevant for some midfield depth. So definitely someone to consider. Nick Flosson is not classic relevant anymore, but he is draft relevant. 86 points from his 20 disposals and 9 marks is very nice. So same as a few other guys in draft, just to offer a little bit more depth in your defensive line, but he can still score really solid. Sam Naismith obviously replaced Nank Curvis after Nank got injured, and it's nice to see him back running for the first time in a while. Had 25 hitouts and 11 disposals, so nothing too special. But if Nank gets seriously injured sometime throughout the season, you might be able to consider him if Naismith keeps getting games and keeps finding some form. Tim Taranto was a little bit like Errol Goulden was. He was a bit worrying for coaches that have picked him up in draft. He only had 15 disposals and 4 tackles for a score of 56. We saw him get high 20s, early 30s in disposals last year, and he scored really well. So he just needs to get back up to those standards. And he didn't tackle or mark the ball pretty much at all on the weekend as well. So he needs to do that in order to score like he did last year. Seth Campbell looks like a really nice cash cow for us on our benches in the forward line. Nice for him to get a debut and kick 2 goals from his 9 disposals, finish with 61, and he'll probably be in my starting team on my bench, obviously. Shay Bolton, this is more draft relevant, but he was pretty much nowhere on the weekend. He was one of the main goal contributors, but he only touched the ball 8 times, which is really low for a guy of his quality. He needs to be put on ball a little bit more for the Tigers because they're a little bit one-paced, their midfield. They've got Taranto, Hopper, Dion Prestia. They need a little bit more leg speed. He can win the ball, but his teammates just need to get it to him first, and then he can score really well. And this is mainly for a draft, but Thompson Dow, a little bit of people were considering him in classic, and I don't think he should be touched after a 6 disposal, 3 tackle performance on the weekend for a score of 25. So definitely wouldn't be advised people doing that. And the final game for the weekend was GWS versus Collingwood. So my match report for that is coming out very soon. So keep an eye out for that. But I'll just go through the top scorers. So Lockie Whitfield, I think I saw him have about 40 points alone from just kickouts, which is pretty absurd when you think about it that way. He had 33 disposals, 24 of those being kicks, 14 marks. Yeah, he was the main distributor off halfback today, and with that massive score, a lot of people will be jumping on him. I know he's got the early buy, but definitely someone that you need to consider with a low break-even, and he'll get a double price rise after the first round finishes this weekend. Darcy Cameron, more draft relevant, but still had a really good game. 2 goals, 20 disposals, 30 hit-outs. He also marked and tackled pretty well as well. So for a big guy, that's what we want to see. He scored 131, so that's a huge game for draft owners. If Mason Cox gets dropped and Darcy Cameron does pick up forward status if he reaches 35% in the forward line, then he can definitely be considered like he did last year. Josh Kelly, it says that he got injured late in the game. I'm not too sure what happened there, but he had 32 disposals, one goal, with a score of 117. So, again, he looked really good, same as Tuke Miller. Looks like he's back to his nice form that we saw him in a couple years ago. Tom Green, just a ball magnet, 30 disposals, 6 tackles, 4 marks, and a goal for 116. Will definitely be in a lot of teams after his early bye if you're not starting him. And he could even push for a Brownlow if he really wanted to. He's always in the contest. A little bit like Lachie Neal, he'll be favoured as a midfielder. So definitely someone to keep an eye out for. The Dacos brothers both scoring 111. Nick had 34 disposals, one goal, one behind, and 4 tackles with 10 clearances. Just an overall really good game. And Collingwood will want the ball in his hands as much as possible yet again this year, and looks pretty classy. Was a little bit shaky with his foot skills a couple times during the match, but that's just first match back type stuff. So Josh Dacos also scored well, 6 marks, 5 tackles, 28 disposals, 111, more draft relevant, but still a really good score. Stephen Cornelio, 91, so he had 28 disposals and 5 marks. So he was used as a midfielder that I saw a little bit. His time on grounds in the mid-80s, so that's pretty good. If he just kicks a goal a match, he'll get up to a 100 average, no problem. He might get forward status sometime this year, not too sure. But it looks like G2S are going to consider him as a mainly midfielder this year. Harry Himmelberg, another good score of 86. So he is a defender this year. So 24 disposals, 5 marks. Obviously a little bit down on marks that he got last year. And can be considered probably after his bye, but I wouldn't assume that he's going to pump out massive scores every single week. But still, very good person to keep your eye on in draft, especially. So, other players like Jordan DeGoey underperformed a little bit, 61 points. He had 21 disposals, which is pretty good, but didn't tackle and didn't mark really well. And he normally hits the scoreboard, so he just needs to improve some of those aspects of his game. Toby Green, I don't know what went wrong with him, but he did kick a nice check side from the boundary line. Also had 15 disposals, but he only scored 40 points. So draft coaches might be a little bit worried, but I think just wait and see what he does, because he can score really well when he has the ball in his hands. So Charlie Dean was a rookie that I had in my team last week. He only had 9 disposals and 3 marks for a score of 36. So I'm not going to go with him anymore. Instead, I've got Blake Howes. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And other guys like Tom Mitchell and Johnny Noble, who were draft relevant last year. I'm not too sure what happened with them on the weekend. But Tom Mitchell had 1 goal and 9 disposals from only 48% time on ground. So he might have got injured, I'd assume. John Noble only played 33% and he scored almost a point per percent he was on. So that's it for the match reviews. So I'll get up some CBA information that I found online. So really good sources are Moreira's Magic. So he's a previous winner of AFL Fantasy and he does a lot of stats now. So he's got some notable CBA changes from last year and into the opening round that happened this year. So some people that increased in their CBAs. So Thompson Dow was in there 63% of CBAs on the weekend. So he only scored 25, but he was in there 63% of the time, which is 55% more that he had last year, which is pretty amazing. But obviously, he needs to be able to score well for us to consider him. Brody Grundy, so 83%. So that's up 47% from last year when he was rocking with Max Gorn. So that just confirms that he's going to be Sydney's main ruckman. Isaac Heaney went up to 58%, so that's 47% more than he had last year. Might even be a little bit more after John Longmuir saw what he did on the weekend. Nick Dacos going up massively by 43%. He was in 79% of CBAs on the weekend, so definitely going to be as a pure midfielder this year, and definitely someone that you need to have in your fantasy team. Jared Lyons was in there 52% of the time, so that's up 41%. Tuke Miller up 38% to 78%. Sam Flanders was up 38%, so that's now at 56% if you wanted to know that. Christian Salem got his first centre bounces in the last year on the weekend, so that was up 37%. Maxi Gorn was up 32%, so he was at 88% of CBAs. So that's as similar as what Gorn, as what Grundy did, sorry. Cam Rayner was up 30%, so he had 38%. Adam Chera up 28% for 76%, and Chad Warner up 27% from his, so that's now up to, 75%. So notable changes going down in CBAs. So David Swallow is now at 0%, so that's negative 45%. So obviously they're going to go with a younger midfield in these Suns rotations. Scott Pendlebury was down 24%, so that now sits at 39%. Brandon Fiorini down 15%, so he had zero CBAs on the weekend, same as Bailey Humphrey. Josh Dunkley went down 15%, but he obviously still scored the most points for the Brisbane Lions. James Robon went down 14%, so that's probably because of Heaney getting extra midfield minutes. Shea Bolton went down 12%, so I expect that to increase in the coming rounds since Richmond struggled through the midfield. Same as Tim Taranto, he went down 10%, which is a little bit concerning for draft owners. Toby Green went down 9%, so he was sitting at 15, but he's now down to 6. Jane Shaw had zero CBAs on the weekend, so that's down 8% from what he had last year. And Zach Bailey went down 8%, so he had 14% of CBAs from the weekend. Now for the price changes that a guy called Stats by Jaden does, really handy for lots of fantasy coaches. But here are just some price movements that happened on the weekend for some classic relevant players. So from the Melbourne-Sydney game, Matt Roberts, he scored 91, so his price will move up to 292K. So that's a 47K difference, and his break-even right now is at negative 77.1, which is pretty nuts because obviously price changes will count as two times for all of the opening round teams, so they can get an even amount of price changes throughout the year compared to other teams that didn't play. So his actual break-even is negative 13, but his full break-even is negative 77. Blake Howes has gone up 38K, so his break-even is negative 11, full break-even of negative 62. Brody Grundy, he is now over 700K, he's gone up 31K, and his full break-even is at 7. Isaac Heaney, gone up 29K, so his full break-even is 15. James Jordan has gone up 18K, so he's a full break-even of 10. And Jack Viney, 66 as his full break even. He is now 919K. Christian Salem, as a defender, he is now 712K, so his full break even is 51.9. Caleb Windsor, full break even of 9.8, so he's only gone up 10K from his performance. And then some people that decreased in price, Max Scorn went down 5K, Oliver went down 20K, Errol Goulden will now sit at 982K, and Jack Billings, after being the sub, will go down 37K. So those are some people that you can either look at for Classic or you can ignore because of their new break-evens. For the Brisbane-Carlton game, George Hewitt has gone up 18K, so he's the biggest riser from that match. Zach Williams went up 16K, so he's got a full break-even of 13. Ratio Fantasia went up 3K. Dunkley went up 1K. Both with a respectable 22 break-even and 100 break-even. Kai Lohman, he obviously was a medi sub. He went up 0K after his score of 28, so he will still have a break-even of 28. Nick Newman has gone down in price, same as Adam Chera, and Hugh McCluggage is now under 800K. Kitty Coleman and Sam Doherty have decreased in price massively, but we won't need to worry about that until next year now. Some other guys, so Seth Campbell went up the most in the Richmond Gold Coast game. He went up 31K. Alex Sexton went up 30K. So their full break evens are negative 44 for Seth Campbell and negative 24 for Alex Sexton. Connor Bodrick, negative 2 break even. So he went up 27K. Will Powell, Matt Rowell, both went up about 20K each. So they have respectable break evens of 35 and 50. Tuke Miller has a break even of 64 after a 13K increase in price. Jane Shaw is almost at 850K with a break even of 67. Josh Gibkus, he only scored 39 on the weekend, but he has a full break even of 8.3. Sam Flanders, he has gone up in price, so he only went up 4K though, break even of 77. Tim Taranto, full break even of 195, which is ridiculous, and he's gone down 41K. And finally, for the Collingwood GWS match, Darcy Cameron went up the most, so he's gone almost to 800K now, full break even of negative 1. Lockie Whitfield went up 35K, so he'll be at about 890K, so he's got a full break even of 16.5. Nick Haynes, he also went up, but he won't be very relevant in Classic. Toby McMullen, if you're looking for a forward rookie, he's got a negative 21 full break even after going up 20K. Aaron Cadman, similar, he's got a negative 15 break even. Josh Kelly went up in price, so he went up 17K, he's now over 900K, break even of 57. Harry Himmelberg, with a score of 86, he's 43 break even. Tom Green is a 91 break even after now hitting the $1 million mark. And Nick Dacos went up 5K, so he's now 987K with a full break-even of 95. So that's what we have for some Classic-relevant price changes. And finally, for my ending segment, I've got my final team reveal of the preseason. So I'm pretty set on this. The only thing that I'll change is maybe my M2 spot, but apart from that, I'm pretty confident in how my team looks. So I'll just go through each line like I did the last couple episodes. So in my defense, I've brought back Nick Dacos for pretty obvious reasons. He scored over 100 last match, and also in practice match he got, I think it was like 72 points from his 71% time on ground, so definitely someone that can score well when he is on the field. Harry Sheasel has now slid down to my D2 spot, and I've added Lockie Whitfield. So Lockie Whitfield has come in because of how much he'll go up in price. Is obviously another person that I'll need to worry about for early buy rounds. But I think I'll be able to manage that with the amount of defender rookies that are going to be playing in the early rounds. Hayden Young has my D4 spot. So that's the same as it's been all preseason. Zach Williams has come back into my team after his 69-point performance, mainly just because of cash gen, and he looks like he can score well when he's fit. So obviously he might have ran out of puff after having a 38-point first quarter. Nick Caulfield is now my D6, so that's hasn't really changed much this preseason. Ari Schoenmaker and Blake Howes round out my defensive line. So in my midfield, I've got $2 million men sitting in my M1 and M2 spot. So I've got Marcus Bontempelli, mainly just a captain option pretty much every single week. And I've got Jordan Dawson in right now. So that might change. I'm not too sure. I haven't really thought about it that much, but he looks like the only crow that will keep the same amount of CBAs they did last year. I think Roy Laird might go down a little bit with Rankin and Rochelle rolling through, maybe even Sam Berry. But Jordan Dawson is in there pretty much the whole time, so I'm pretty confident having him in my team for now. But I'll just wait until team lineups come out and see how many midfielders they've got coming into their match against the Gold Coast this week. Jack Steele, Jai Newcomb and Nick Munn have all stayed in my team. And I've got Harley Reid, Colby McKercher and Riley Sanders to round out my starting midfield with Chai Clark and Matt Roberts on my bench. So Matt Roberts obviously will be my emergency after his 91-point performance on the weekend and a Rising Star nomination to go with that. So Brody Grundy, Tristan Jerry have stayed in my rucks after I had Max Scorn in last week. So Harry Barnett is my R3, mainly because of dual position, and he might get a chance with Matt Flynn out, but we'll need to see. They've obviously done Bailey Williams all of last year when they struggled with their ruck department. So Bailey Williams might still have the responsibilities, but Harry Barnett looks the most likely out of all of the Eagles ruckmen to fill in Matt Flynn's spot. So Luke Jackson is my F1, as I said earlier. So he's 765K and owned by 20% now. So Zach Fisher is my F2. James Jordan is my F3. Cam McKenzie, Alex Sexton and Charlie Lazaro to round out my starting forward line. A lot of people have been questioning Cam McKenzie. I'd rather Cam McKenzie than Nat Fyfe, mainly because McKenzie's got the CBAs. I know Nat Fyfe has quite a few midfield minutes, but I'd rather save the 60-odd K going down to McKenzie, who will get a similar exposure to the midfield that Nat Fyfe does. Nat Fyfe obviously has Andy Brayshaw and Caleb Sarong working with him as well, so Jeremy Sharp might have a run in there, but we'll need to see this weekend. Alex Sexton, as a lot of people have already, he's owned by 36%. He'll get defender status at the end of round 6. I need to work out whether I want to start Charlie Lazaro or Darcy Wilson on my field. Obviously, Darcy performed really well in the practice games a couple weeks ago, and so did Charlie Lazaro. So I'll work that out when team lineups come out and see where each player is starting. Seth Campbell is on my bench as well. After his 61-point performance, he has a break-even of negative 38. So he'll definitely go up in price. And to round out my team in my utility spot, I have Sean Manor. So he's been sitting there for the whole time. He has not been moved from my team once this preseason. But that is how my team is looking. I'll post it on Instagram as my main social media platform so everyone can see what I'm doing. So I've got 85K left sitting in the bank, so that's got me thinking about who I want to flick out and flick back into my team at the end of round one, when obviously all price changes have been fixed up from the opening rounds as well, and whether I can move anyone on or not. It just gives me a little bit more flexibility. So that is my end of the final team reveal. Just to confirm with all of the listeners here, so price changes will from opening round will contribute. So there's going to be a double price increase for players that played in opening round, just to give the same amount of price increases as what other teams would this year. So I have talked about that. So by rounds, I have now got three people on the round five buy, one person on the round two buy, two people on the round three buy, and only the two people on the round six buy. So I've got Nick Dacos, Brody Grundy for the round five buy. So obviously they're my main defenders, and that's my main ruckman. So I've got Luke Jackson sitting in my forward line, so that might be able to help me flick Luke Jackson in and play one of my forwards. So I'll think about that when round five comes around. Also James Jordan, I can easily switch for Darcy Wilson or Seth Campbell if Seth Campbell still holds his spot by that time. Also got Harley Reid in my midfield. So Zach Williams will obviously come out for either Ari Shawmaker or Blake Cowes, depending on who I think will score most in round two. Lockie Whitfield and Alex Sexton both have the round three buys, so that's only one person from each line going out of my team for that week. But I could easily flick Lockie Whitfield out if he's not scoring well anymore, but that's only round three, so he'll probably be going up in cash after his double price increase. And then Blake Howes and Seth Campbell are round six, so they're both on my bench, so I'll have my full starting team. 18 players will be counted towards your best score in the opening buy rounds, so definitely need to look out for that. And just want to go through who has the best matchups for, like, captaincy and stuff. So Zach Merritt has probably the best vice-captain option this week against Hawthorn. Darcy Parrish is a little bit of concern because he has some hamstring niggles. So just work out whether he is out or not. If he is, I've got a feeling that they will play Finn McGuinness and tag Zach Merritt to minimise their midfield impact. You've also got Errol Goulden, who previously averages 120 against Collingwood on the Friday night. Tom Green also plays on the Saturday. He will most likely dominate North Melbourne. And you've also got, like, Jordan Dawson against Gold Coast will be an interesting game. You also got Rowan Marshall, if you've got Rowan Marshall against Geelong. Connor Rosie is a maybe. I'm not too sure how he'll go against West Coast, but I would assume that most of Port's midfielders will score well. And finally, I think that Western Bulldogs midfielders will have a pretty nice day out against Melbourne, who didn't really account for their midfield opponents against Sydney in opening round. So Marcus Bontempelli might be in for a big game this week. So I think that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. It's been about 50 minutes, I think. So a lot to cover from the opening round. But thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week talking about what happened in round one and some team changes that you might want to consider. So thank you, and enjoy the first week of fantasy.